following sermon extract is taken from Future Punishment of the Wicked, Unavoidable and Intolerable, Ezekiel 22:14. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it. Having shown that impenitent sinners will hereafter be able neither to avoid the punishment threatened, nor to deliver themselves from it, nor to find any relief under it, I come now to show that neither will they be able to bear it, neither will their hands be strong to deliver them from it, nor will their hearts be able to endure it. It is common with men, when they meet with calamities in this world, to try to endeavor to shun them. But if they find that they cannot shun them, then after they are come, they endeavor to deliver themselves from them as soon as they can, or at least to deliver themselves in some degree. But if they find that they can by no means deliver themselves, and see that they must bear them, then they fortify their spirits, and take up a resolution that they will support themselves under them as well as they can. But it will be utterly in vain for impenitent sinners to think to do this with respect to the torments of hell. They will not be able to endure them, or at all to support themselves under them. The torment will be immensely beyond their strength. What good will it do for a worm, which is about to be pressed under the weight of some great rock, to let fall with it its whole weight upon it, to collect its strength, to set itself to bear up under the weight of the rock, and to preserve itself from being crushed by it? Much more vain will it be for a poor damned soul to endeavor to support itself under the weight of the wrath of Almighty God. What is the strength of man, who is but a worm, to support himself against the power of Jehovah and against the fierceness of his wrath? What is man's strength when set to bear up against the exertions of infinite power? Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Matthew 21:44. When sinners hear of hell torments, they sometimes think with themselves, "Well, if it shall come to that, then I must go to hell. I will bear it as well as I can," as if by clothing themselves with resolution and firmness of mind, they would be able to support themselves in some measure, when, alas, they will have no resolution, no courage at all. However they shall have prepared themselves and collected their strength, yet as soon as they shall begin to feel that wrath, their hearts will melt and be as water. However they may seem to harden their hearts in order to prepare themselves to bear, yet the first moment they feel it, their hearts will become like wax before the furnace. Their courage and resolution will be all gone in an instant. It will vanish away like a shadow, in the twinkling of an eye. The stoutest and most sturdy will have no more courage than the feeblest infant. Let a man be an infant or a giant, it will all be the same. They will not be able to keep alive any courage, any strength, any comfort, any hope at all. I come now, as was proposed, to answer an inquiry which may naturally be raised concerning these things. Some may be ready to say, "Well, if this is the case, If impenitent sinners can neither shun future punishment, nor deliver themselves from it, nor bear it, then what will become of them? Answer, they will wholly sink down into eternal death. There will be that sinking of heart of which we cannot now conceive. We see how it is with a body when in extreme pain, the nature of the body will support itself for a considerable time under very great pain, so as to keep from wholly sinking. There will be great struggles, lamentable groans and pantings, and it may be convulsions. These are the struggling of nature to support itself under the extremity of the pain. There is, as it were, a great loathness in nature to yield to it. It cannot bear wholly to sink. But yet sometimes pain of body is so very exquisite that the nature of the body cannot support itself under it. However loath it may be to sink, yet it cannot bear the pain. There are a few struggles, and throes, and pantings, and it may be a shriek or two, and then nature yields to the violence of the torments. It sinks down, and the body dies. This is the death of the body. So it will be with the soul in hell. It will have no strength or power to deliver itself, and its torment and horror will be so great, so mighty, so vastly disproportioned to its strength, that having no strength in the least to support itself, although it be infinitely contrary to the nature and inclination of the soul utterly to sink, yet it will utterly and totally sink, without the least degree of remaining comfort, or strength, or courage, or hope. And though it will never be annihilated, its being and perception will never be abolished, yet such will be the infinite depth of gloominess into which it will sink, that will be in a state of death, eternal death. The nature of man desires happiness. It is the nature of the soul to crave and thirst after well-being, and if it be under misery, it eagerly pants after relief. And the greater the misery is, the more eagerly does it struggle for help. But if all relief be withholden, all strength overborne, all support utterly gone, then it sinks into the darkness of death. We can conceive but little of the manner. But to help your conception, imagine yourself to be cast into a fiery oven or a great furnace, where your pain would be as much greater than that occasioned by accidentally touching a coal of fire, as the heat is greater. Imagine also that your body were to lie there for a quarter of an hour, full of fire, and all the while full of your quick senses. What horror would you feel at the entrance of such a furnace? And how long would that quarter of an hour seem to you? And after you have endured it for 1 minute, how overbearing would it be to you to think that you had to endure it the other 14? But what would be the effect on your soul if he knew you must lie there enduring that torment to the full for 24 hours? And how much greater would be the effect if you knew you must endure it for a whole year? And how vastly greater still if you knew you must endure it for 1,000 years? Oh, then how would your hearts sink if you knew that you must bear it forever and ever, that there would be no end, that after millions of ages, your torment would be no nearer to an end, and that you never, never should be delivered. But your torment in hell will be immensely greater than this illustration represents. How then will the heart of a poor creature sink under it? How utterly inexpressible and inconceivable must the sinking of the soul be in such a case? This is a death threatened in the moral law. This is dying in the highest sense of the word. This is to die sensibly, to die and to know it, to be sensible of the gloom of death. This is to be undone. This is worthy of the name of destruction. The sinking of the soul under an infinite weight which it cannot bear is the gloom of hell. We read in Scripture of the blackness of darkness. This is it. This is the very thing described. We read in Scripture of sinners being lost and of their losing their souls. This is a thing intended. This is to lose a soul. They that are subjects of this are utterly lost. Application. The subject may be applied in the use of awakening impenitent sinners. What has been said under this doctrine is for you, impenitent sinner, you poor wretch, who art in the same miserable state in which you entered into the world, excepting that now you are loaded with vastly greater guilt by your actual sins. These dreadful things which you have heard are for you, who are unconverted yet, and still remain an alien and stranger without Christ and without God in the world. They are for you, who to this day remain an enemy to God, and a child of the devil, even in this remarkable season when others, both here and elsewhere, far and near, are flocking to Christ. For you, who hears the fame of these things, but know nothing of the power of godliness in your own heart, whoever you are, whether young or old, little or great, if you are in a Christless, unconverted state, this is a wrath. This is a death of which you are condemned. This is a wrath that abides on you. This is a hell over which you hang and of which you are ready to drop every day and every night. If you shall remain blind and hardened and dead in sin a little longer, this destruction will come upon you. God has spoken, and he will do it. It is in vain for you to flatter yourself with hopes that you shall avoid it, or to say in your heart, perhaps it will not be. Perhaps things have been represented worse than they are. If you will not be convinced by the word preached to you by men, in the name of God, God himself will undertake to convince you. Ezekiel 14:4-8. Does it seem to you not real that you shall suffer such a dreadful destruction, because it seems to you that you do not deserve it? And because you do not see anything so horrid in yourself as to answer such a dreadful punishment, why is it that your wickedness does not seem bad enough to deserve this punishment? The reason is that you love your wickedness. Your wickedness seems good to you. It appears lovely to you. You do not see any such hatefulness in it as to deserve such misery. But know, thou obdurate, blind, hardened wretch, God does not see as you see with your polluted eyes. Your sins in his sight are infinitely abominable. You know that you have 1,000 and 1,000 times made light of the majesty of God. And why should not that majesty which you have despised be manifested in the greatness of your punishment? You have often heard what a great and dreadful God Jehovah is, but you have made light of it, that you have not been afraid of him, that you have not been afraid to sin against him, nor to go on day after day by your sins to provoke him to wrath, nor to cast his commands underfoot and trample on them. Now why may not God, in the greatness of your destruction, justly vindicate and manifest the greatness of that majesty which you have despised? You have despised the mighty power of God. You have not been afraid of it. Now, why is it not fitting that God should show the greatness of his power in your ruin? What king is there who will not show his authority in the punishment of those subjects that despise it, and who will not vindicate his royal majesty in executing vengeance on those that rise in rebellion? And are you such a fool as to think that the great king of heaven and earth, before whom all other kings are so many grasshoppers, will not vindicate his kingly majesty on such contemptuous rebels as you are? You are very much mistaken if you think so, if you be regardless of God's majesty. Be it known to you, God is not regardless of his own majesty. He takes care of its honor, and he will vindicate it. Don't think it strange that God should deal so severely with you, or that the wrath which you shall suffer should be so great. For as great as it is no greater than the love of God, which you have despised. The love of God and his grace, condescension and pity to sinners, and sending a son into the world to die for them, is every whit as great and wonderful as this inexpressible wrath. This mercy has been held forth to you, and it has been described in its wonderful greatness hundreds of times, and as often has it been offered to you. But you would not accept Christ. You would not have this great love of God. You despise God's dying love. You trampled the benefits of it underfoot. Now, why should you not have the wrath as great as that love and mercy which you despised and reject? Does it seem incredible to you that God should so harden his heart against a poor sinner as to destroy him and to bear him down with infinite power and merciless wrath? And is this a greater thing than it is for you to harden your heart, as you have done, against infinite mercy and against the dying love of God? Does it seem to you incredible that God should be so utterly regardless of the sinner's welfare as to sink him into an infinite abyss of misery? Is it shocking to you? And is it not at all shocking to you that you should be so utterly regardless as you have been of the honor and glory of the infinite God? It arises from your stupidity, and because you have a heart of stone, that you are so senseless of your own wickedness as to think that you have not deserved such a punishment, and that it is to you incredible that it will be inflicted upon you. But if, when all is said and done, you be not convinced, wait but a little while, and you will be convinced. God will undertake to do the work which pastors cannot do.